If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be in Colossians chapter 2 today, starting at verse 6. And I've got to boot up my tablet here, so it'll just be a few seconds. But let me ask this question. How many of you have or have had in the past exercise equipment at home? The treadmills, walkers, that type of thing. And I want you to be honest. How many of you have had these things and they turned into clothes hangers or collecting dust? Okay. You realize that holiday resolutions, particularly New Year's resolutions, usually fail. The majority fail within the first 7 days. They almost all fail by day number 30. Did you ever think why that happens? I'm asking this question this morning, and I wonder why sometimes if we really do care to ask that question. There is a reason for it that these things fail, and sometimes we have to ask ourselves hard questions. Now, listen to what I'm going to say. If you don't follow this, you can ask me a question, okay? Everything that you do, whether it's good or bad, everything has a motivation to it. Would you agree with that? So, let's say for a moment that, not that we have any here, but let's say for a moment we have some procrastinators in the group. Procrastination has a motive to it, okay? And a lot of times we just say, oh, that's the way I'm wired, or this and that. When we start to ask some difficult questions of ourselves, and we say, well, why am I a procrastinator? Or, I don't want to pick on just procrastinators, I'll get letters. Why am I always late to something? Or why am I, I set out to do something and never follow through? Those things have motives to them that we need to identify, good or bad, in order, if we're going to be serious about making any change. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, I have to follow this up with, is there anybody here who's perfect? Nobody's perfect. We understand that. But if we don't start to ask those questions, I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. This applies to everybody. If we don't start to ask those questions, then what's going to happen in 2017 is the same thing that's going to that has happened in 2016. Isn't that true? You're going to have the same types of issues. You're going to have the same types of problems that recur, and there's this cycle that sets up. Let me read to you a quote from Henry Ford. A lot of you know this. It says, "If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you always want." God. In other words, if you're not willing to be honest with yourself and know that there are some things that need to change in our lives, and we don't become proactive in that, and I'll qualify that here, we can't do this alone. Okay? You and I are incapable of doing this alone. This is why we need God's help in doing this. But if we don't make that first step of faith of even identifying what's going on, then we're going to be lost. What I mean by lost is nothing's going to change. Nothing will change. And so, I want to ask these questions. How many of us are starting 2017 doing the same old things, expecting different results? Are you willing to ask yourself that question? Are you willing to ask yourself that question, knowing that this is a trap that has discouraged many of us? There's nobody exempt here. We've all fallen into this trap. Not only that, have you asked yourself, what would you like to be different in your life this year? You need to identify those things in order to start to make a difference. Okay? So let me help you. Let me ask, give you some questions And these are just general questions. They're specific questions that need to be asked under each of these categories. But I'm going to give you just four basic ones, okay? Here they are. Are my finances a mess and out of control? Nobody's willing to admit to it. It's amazing. Nobody's willing to admit to it. But starting next Sunday, you can come and do something about it with God's help. Right? Okay. Second question. Are my family relationships healthy and meaningful? Thanks for honesty. You could ask God to help you start to work on those things. How can I improve my health and well-being? How many of us need to lose weight? That's just one example. But the last question and the most important is this. Am I progressing in my spiritual maturity? The reason why I believe this is the most crucial question is because as you and I progress in our spiritual maturity, those other things start to come in line. Does that make sense? Okay. If we remain babies spiritually, babies in Christ, and those other things, we're going to flounder. But as we allow God to help us to mature, then those things will start to take shape and come in line. Paul gives us some clear insights about a plan to go forward in our spiritual maturity in this passage. Let me read this passage for you. I got to run through this a little bit quickly today, so I apologize for that. If you have questions, we can talk at the prayer meetings. It says, so then, just as you have received Christ as Lord, how did you receive him? By what?
By faith.
By faith, right? So just as you receive Jesus Christ by faith, continue to live in him. By how? Faith. Okay? Now listen, you and I have the greatest resources in the cosmos available to us through Christ and the indwelling of our Holy Spirit. This is not something where I come alongside of you and say, just pull up your bootstraps and get yourself together. This is saying, no, admit that we don't have it together and come to Christ in faith and say, I need your help. But there's part two of that. And part two is, as he responds through his word and his spirit, now by faith you need to obey. Does that make sense? Continue to live your lives in him, engaged in him. How many of you believe electricity is real? Okay, it's real, right? Suzanne, what happens if you shut the switch next to you? The lights go out. What a switch does, you can put it back on again. Okay. What a switch does is it completes the circuit, right? When it's on, it completes the circuit. So what can light up? The lights through electricity. What happens is we receive Christ. The moment we receive Christ, the scripture is very clear that the Holy Spirit indwells us and we are rooted now in Christ. Just like a tree puts down roots. We are rooted in Christ. It says we are rooted in him and we can be built up in him. Built up. What's the functions of roots?
To nourish.
Those roots are there to nourish. For us, what is our nourishment in Christ? The Word of God. Worship. Prayer. And listen, one of the things I'm going to ping on this morning is this. We're quick with our mouths. We are very quick to tell God what to do. We are very quick to tell God what we want, but we are not quick and not very good at listening. Listening to what God wants. So how does God speak to us? Through his word, through the promptings of the Spirit, through a godly person who maybe God gives a word of wisdom to. And we don't we don't listen a lot of times. So if we don't listen, we don't give a chance for those roots to pick up the nourishment and to be built up in Him. We need to stay in Christ, engaged in Christ. We need to be strengthened in the faith as you were taught. And that always results in overflowing thankfulness. Thanks. Appreciate it. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? All right, I want you to follow me on this, okay? So the first insight that Paul gives us here is to continue our lives of faith engaged with Jesus Christ. The other side of this question is, how do we become disengaged? Well, yeah, and we stop reading the word, we stop praying, we stop worshiping. It's the worst thing we can do. What are some of the things that try to take us away from that? Worry?
Fear.
Busyness, fear. What else? Sin. Okay. I have to laugh because, I'm sorry, I don't mean to get political, but over the holidays, I tend to get to be very reflective. And I have to laugh because a lot is being made about the great divide in our country, how people seem to be very divided and there seems to be, you know, more hatred and all of this. And I feel like standing up and screaming, do you understand that great divide will always be here unless people embrace the cross of Christ? That's the only answer for the great divide. Unless people embrace the cross of Christ and embrace Christ by faith and start to do these things, rooted, built up in Him, strengthened in faith, as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. There's a lot of fine-sounding arguments around. One of the things that grieves my heart, I'll be very honest with you, one of the things that grieves my heart is that for the last two Sundays, generally speaking, we've had no guests. Well, you have guests today from Manassas, but when I say no guests, I'm talking about people who don't know Christ as personal Lord and Savior. That grieves me, and I'll tell you why. It grieves me because there's many philosophies out there. There's many great sounding arguments out there. They're all false. They are all false. And the only way that you and I are going to know what the truth is by being rooted in Christ and abiding in Him and abiding in His Word. If we don't know what His Word says and we don't know what's true, how in the world are we ever going to identify the counterfeit? We won't be able to do it, especially if we're disengaged from Christ. We're not going to be able to do it. So we'll get batted around. And a lot of times, that's why people go from churches to church. Because they like what they hear. And as soon as it gets a little too personal, I've got to find somebody else. We're not going to get that personal. Pastor, I'm not going to let you meddle in my life. It's not me that's meddling. It's God. And so we have to understand that there's a lot of false teaching around. We need to stay connected. There's also spiritual warfare. Joy is going to have a Bible study coming up for the women. I see some names starting to be up there. There needs to be more names up there. But I see some names starting up. I guarantee you on that first night, something's going to happen, and you're going to say, I don't know if I should go. Listen, that's the devil. As soon as you take a step in any of these areas, he's gonna want to pull you away. Why? Because you being here is good for you. You being here is good for you. Oh, but I'm too tired. Oh, I'm too this. I'm too that. People manage to wake up if they go to a sporting event. People manage to wake up if they go to a party. People manage to wake up if they do what they want to do. And that should send up a red flag, because that should tell us that at that point we're disengaged. At that point, we're not saying, do I want 2017 to be different in my life? It's easy for me to come up here and say, 2017 should be different for you and you and you and you. That's not my business. That's the Holy Spirit's business. It's easy to see it in others, but let God help us to see it within ourselves. The second insight that Paul gives us is found, well, let me read this to you. This kind of sums up what we've just been talking about. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies, which depends on what? Human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. Christ needs to be the centerpiece. He needs to be the centerpiece. I go nuts. I'm going to be honest with you. I go nuts when I hear people mixing mystical religions, philosophy with Christianity. I go nuts. I hear terms about karma. You know, I'll hear other things that say, where are you getting this from? Don't you understand? It's Christ and Christ alone. And yet there's so many convincing things. Well, this is what Dr. Phil said. I don't care. This is what Oprah said. I really don't care. This is what I don't care. Tell me what Christ says. Franklin Graham just came out with another newsletter. His father endorsed it with a posting on Twitter. And Franklin Graham said the same thing that I've been saying. The only solution for the great divide in this country is the cross of Christ. It is Christ alone. For in Christ, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to the fullness. He is head over everything, power and authority. The reason why Paul's dwelling on this is because there were false teachers in the Colossian church teaching that Jesus was only like an angel. He wasn't really fully God. He had the appearance of God, but not a physical body. And all sorts of bad theology grew out of that. One of the bad theology aspects that grows out of that is your body is evil. Doesn't matter what you do in the body, as long as your spirit is right. And so that led to all sorts of perversion. And Paul is saying, no, your body is not evil. Christ is God in the flesh. He had a body, fully God, fully man. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. When we abide in this Christ who's fully God and fully man, then we know what it's like to be human and to love. He is the head of all power and authority. Remember I said as soon as you take a step of faith, what's going to happen? You're going to enter into spiritual battle. But he is the head of all power and authority. So when that happens, you have the full authority based on the Bible to say, I'm not going to let Satan win. I'm not going to let him win. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So Satan, go back to where you're going. And then you ask the Spirit of God to give you the power and the desire to, by faith, take that first step. I'm going to that Bible study. I'm going to that worship service. I'm going to that prayer meeting. I'm going to financial peace. Whatever it may be, you ask God for that power. See, the second insight in this is that you let the life of Christ live in and through you. We can't do this on our own. Verse 11, in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised in Christ. This is talking about making a comparison to the Jewish rite of circumcision. Many of you know the Jewish law demands that on the eighth day a boy be circumcised as an outward sign of an inward commitment to the Lord. Well, the problem with that is it's an external law, and it becomes so routine that you can lose sight of why you do it. Isn't that true? The other thing that's true in this is that outward laws never change anybody. We need to be changed from the inside out. If you want 2017 to be different than 2016, you and I need to be changed by Christ from the inside out. But this is exactly what he's saying. He's saying, look, the moment you receive Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. And yeah, he did a circumcision on you, but not physically. He did a circumcision on your heart. Inside. Because before we were in Christ, we were intensely selfish and prideful, weren't we? What's the root of all sin? Pride. We were selfish and prideful. And then Paul is saying, the moment you receive Christ, the Spirit who lives in you now is giving you a new heart. A heart that is more open and alive to Christ. Before the Spirit entered us, we were dead in our sins. But now we're alive in Christ. And that circumcision is one of the heart to take us from being selfish to being selfless. Ooh, bigger difference. So you go from a system of keeping score to say, I've done this for you, now I expect you to do it for me. Or from a system of saying, I'm not doing anything because you know you don't deserve it, to I'm doing this because I love Christ. And I don't expect anything in return. I'm doing this for the love of Christ. In Corinthians, Paul says it this way, the love of Christ compels me. I want to invite you today in this new year to just dwell on how much Jesus loves you. You can't exhaust that. And then let the love of Christ do its work into your heart. Jesus is Lord over every power and authority. Not only is he Lord over every power and authority, in him our hearts have been circumcised. Selfishness being replaced by selfless love. Self-rule being replaced by the lordship of Christ. Our life of death being replaced by the life of Christ. Christ's love compels us to obey him freely. Let me ask you a question. Have any of you come to terms with this, that in life you and I have very little control over anything? Have you realized yet? I'm not saying we shouldn't plan or make goals. It's not what I'm saying. But the reality is this, in life we have very little control. But God has control. And Christ has control. We need to reflect and remember. Look, let me finish this out with you before we go to the Lord's table. Having been buried with him in baptism. This is just a great picture of baptism. We do what's called believer's baptism, right? When somebody comes to Christ, they're saved. Baptism's not necessary for salvation, but we ask them to make a public profession of their faith. And what that public profession is this, is that when they go under the water, and depending how good you are to me will depend how long I keep you there. When I put them under the water, that is their profession to the congregation saying, as Christ died for my sin on the cross, I am dying to my sin. In other words, I'm changing my direction. I've made up my mind to change my direction of my life to follow Christ from rebellion to obedience. And you are also raised up with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Being raised up in new life. When Christ rose from the grave, he had a resurrected body, new life. We are raised up to new life in Christ. And that new life continues from now and through all eternity. As we come to the Lord's table, We need to remember the sacrifice of love on the cross that Christ made for us. We need to reflect on the grace of God for the forgiveness of sin. Grace is God's unmerited favor, correct? We don't deserve it. We don't deserve to be forgiven, but Christ made that possible when he nailed my sin and shame and your sin and shame on the cross on Christ, on his cross. And all we need to do is believe and trust that he did that for me personally. We need to confess our sin. Repent, confess. We can do that privately as we come to the Lord's table. The table is for anyone who has trusted Christ. You don't have to be a member here, but anybody who has trusted Christ. But we need that time of reflection to say, Lord, there are things in my life that I know grieve you. It's sin. I agree with you, it's sin. I agree with your word that it's sin. And Lord, I want to confess them before you. And I want to ask you for the power not to do that again. I need your help.